Let's start with a couple of readings this morning. I want to do a biblical reading and one out of a book that I want to share with you. The biblical reading, I think you'll ultimately be very familiar with. And there's a particular part of it that I'll try to emphasize as I give this that I think is important for my message today. We're continuing the Sacred Undoing summer series that I'm doing this summer about dogma and the undoing of it and better ideas for dogma. For the book that hopefully is going to be published next spring. Here now this reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition of that. Here now these words. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Do not bring us to a time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. Also, as we prepare to hear the sermon today, I'd like for you to listen to the words of theologian Reverend Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas, who is a leading womanist theologian, an Episcopal priest, and a scholar of Black liberation theology. And in her book entitled Stand Your Ground, Black Bodies and the Justice of God, she sort of names it what's at stake when faith forgets the people still suffer and turns its eyes too quickly to heaven. Here's what she has to say. The gospel is not about escaping the world, but confronting it. It's about challenging the death-dealing forces of injustice and standing in solidarity with the crucified classes of people. It's about faith that does not seek heaven above, but justice on earth. When faith is stripped of justice, she says, it becomes a tool of oppression rather than liberation.
This song is by John Prine. When I get to heaven, I'm going to shake God's hand, thank him for more blessings than one man can stand. Then I'm going to get a guitar and start a rock and roll band. Check into a swell hotel. Ain't the afterlife grand? And then I'm gonna get a cocktail, black hawk and suited red. Yeah, I'm gonna smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm gonna kiss that pretty girl until the world. The peaceful man is going to town. Then as God is my witness, I'm gonna get back into show business.
Forgive everybody, every dummy, anyone. But I might even invite a huge mistress. Those simple little Paris tips. Buy on the finest mittens and smother the McMahon charm.
And then I'm going to go and find my mom and my dad and good old Brother Doug. Well, I bet him and Cousin Jackie are still cutting up a rope. Want to see all my mom's sisters, because that's where all love starts. I miss them all like crazy. Bless their little hearts. And I always will remember these words my dad said. He said, "Buddy, when you're dead, you're a dead peckerhead." Well, I've always proven wrong. That is, when I get to heaven. And then I'm going to get a cocktail. Lots of empty trails. Yeah, I'm going to take a good one.
To continue our summer sermon series, The Sacred Undoing, where we look at the dogma of the church, talk about why it's dangerous, and talk about a different approach, how we might think about it. And a reminder, after the sermon, there will be a meditative music to kind of take time to reflect on it after the song, and then there will be a chance for dialogue about it a little bit later. My message this morning, though, is entitled, Heaven Can Wait. So let me start by saying something that might sound just a little bit suspicious coming from a preacher. I'm not all that interested about going to heaven. Don't get me wrong. I love a good mystery. I'm intrigued by what's beyond this life as much as the next person is. But the obsession with going to heaven when we die has hijacked, in my opinion, much of what faith is really supposed to be about. We've spent centuries obsessed with the afterlife while missing the chance to love boldly in this life. And when our hope is exclusively in the sky, we tend to leave earth a little bit behind, even when it's crying out for healing. See, Christianity has spent centuries selling tickets to the afterlife instead of embodying love in this life. And somewhere along the way, we started confusing following Jesus with fantasizing about some kind of an escape plan. But see, Jesus didn't come preaching about the afterlife. He came preaching about new life here on earth. He didn't say, "Blessed are the future residents of paradise." He said, "Blessed are the poor, the peacemakers, the merciful." I mean, Jesus wasn't selling fire insurance, y'all. You know that. He was hoping to light a fire under us. And that fire is about bringing heaven here, not waiting till we get there. That fire, it invites us to stop treating heaven like some kind of a distant reward and start treating earth like sacred ground. I mean, let's be honest. A lot of folks have been handed a version of Christianity that treats earth like a sinking ship. The goal is to grab your life jacket of belief, get your hands and your hearts inside the pews at all times, and wait for the divine helicopter of salvation to airlift you out here. But that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. That's escapism dressed up in a Sunday suit. The kingdom of God, as Jesus described it, is not a future evacuation. It is a present invasion. Not a celestial retirement plan, but a radical reordering of this world. The last shall be first, the meek shall inherit the earth, the hungry shall be filled. The Gospels. See, the Gospels are not interested in postponing liberation until after death. They're about what happens when we refuse to wait. They are stories of people who see pain around them and refuse to kind of spiritualize it away. And you know, yet too often Christian communities have preached delay. Let's wait to the afterlife. We've told the poor that their suffering will be rewarded in the next life instead of reliving it in this one and helping them past it. We've told them grieving that they should smile because heaven awaits instead of sitting in the ash heaps with them the way that Jesus would have. We've used the pearly gates to avoid dealing with prison bars. We let the promise of later keep us from risking compassion now. That's not just bad theology. That's bad ethics. If your faith floats above injustice, instead of confronting it, then it's not about following Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't hover safely up in the clouds somewhere. He kneels down in the dirt. He touches the leper. He eats with the outcasts. He shows up. He shows up in the bodies this world tries to forgive. And when Jesus talks about kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about golden streets or angel choirs. He's talking about mustard seeds growing out of the cracks of sidewalks. He's talking about yeast worked into the dough of everyday life. He's talking about hidden treasures buried in plain sight right here and right now. In other words, the sacred isn't about waiting somewhere else. It's about breaking in now. Which means, if your version of Christianity is waiting for the world to end so that you can be rescued from it, you're not living the gospel, you're delaying the gospel. And let's be real. Sometimes we like to float away, kind of a float away faith, because it keeps us safe. If our job is simply to pray and to sing and to keep our noses clean until the afterlife, well, we don't have to challenge systems that keeps other people in chains. We don't have to confront white supremacy or ableism or toxic capitalism or transphobia or gun violence or ecological collapse. We don't have to do that. We just have to behave, believe, and be patient. But you see, Jesus wasn't patient with injustice. Jesus didn't sit quietly, wait for heaven to arrive. He flipped tables. He fed people. He broke Sabbath laws to heal people. He taught that faith without action, is no faith at all. And if we take that seriously, we stop asking the question, how do I get to heaven? We start asking the question, how do I bring heaven closer to those who are hurting? Because that's the true scandal of the gospel. The true scandal of the gospel isn't that sinners get saved. It's that what the gospel calls the kingdom of heaven refuses to wait and insists on being now. In Acts 1, after the resurrection, the disciples are caught looking up, eyes fixed on the sky, watching Jesus sort of just disappear into the clouds, according to the story. So what happens next during that story? Two figures show up. Why are you standing looking up in the heavens? Basically saying, stop standing around waiting for heaven. There's work to do right here on earth. You know, it's such a simple and normal human impulse to get stuck looking upwards. to wait for signs, to seek answers in the sky. With the real challenge is at our feet. Now, too much of modern Christianity has become this sky-gazing religion, faith that is too much more interested in the clouds than in the concrete, more obsessed with pearly gates than policy change, more devoted to getting people into heaven than getting heaven into people. But the early church, it didn't grow because they preached escapism. It grew because, well, they practiced compassion. It wasn't a waiting room for glory. It was a movement for justice. Jesus didn't say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," somewhere, someday, somewhere else. He said, "On earth as it is in heaven." And we still stand staring. While families are crushed by medical debt, we stand staring. While black lives are taken without accountability, we stand staring. While those with disabilities are treated as burdens instead of beloved, we stand still staring. While LGBTQ+ youth are cast out by their very families and churches who are meant to protect them, we still stand staring. While the planet chokes on our greed, we stand staring. We don't need any more skyward theology, folks. We don't need it. We need grounded faith. We need dirt on your hands, table flipping, wound healing, justice walking faith. We need faith. Faith that looks around instead of looks away. Because when we spend all of our energy imagining how we'll escape this world, we miss the call to repair it. The rain of love doesn't fall out of the clouds. It rises up wherever and whenever people choose compassion over comfort, justice over convenience, and truth over tradition. Heaven isn't where we go to avoid the pain of the world. Heaven is what we co-create in responding to the pain of the world. Heaven is not the opposite of hell. The opposite of heaven is hate. So I don't need a theology that says someday. I need a theology that says right now. Right now. Because Jesus did not preach escape. He preached transformation. He didn't say, "Sit tight, hell is coming." He said, "Get up, speak out. The kingdom is here." I say, let the kingdom come. Let it come like food shared at a protest line. Let it come like shelters open to strangers. Let it come like laughter breaking through despair. Let it come like courage standing where silence once ruled. Because a faith that waits, a faith that waits is a faith that withers. And a hope that hovers is a hope that hides. But love shows up. Love digs in. Love gets loud. Love flips tables and bandages wounds. So let it come. Let it come in teachers refusing to give up on forgotten kids. Let it come in nurses fighting for the dignity of health care. Let it come in parents affirming their trans kids. Let it come in communities protecting one another when governments fail. Because if your eyes are only fixed on heaven, you'll miss the God who shows up in the streets. If your hands are only lifted up in worship, you'll miss the neighbors who need lifting up too. So let it come. Let it come in the breaking of chains. Let it come in the healing of wounds. Let it come in the voices that shout, "No more," and "Not in our name," and "Not another world will, person in this world will be heard," because another world is possible. Let it come in kitchens where the hungry are fed. Let it come in courtrooms where justice finally speaks. Let it come in pulpits that dare to tell the truth. Because heaven isn't somewhere we go, it's something that we make. We make it when we love the way Jesus taught us to love. When we show up like Jesus showed up. When we refuse to let cruelty go unchallenged and refuse to let the hurting go unseen. Let it come in a world where differently abled bodies and minds are met with access and dignity and joy and not pity and silence or exclusion. Let it come in lawmakers who choose people over profit. Let it come in students who walk out rather than sit down and shut up. Let it come in organizers who refuse to give up, give in, and go home. Let it come here. Let it come now. Because heaven can wait, but justice can't. Mercy can't. Love can't. Not one more day. Not one more delay. Let it come.
Let the bells run right.
about all the things that you said we were to gain? What about killing fields? Is there a time? What about all the things that you said was yours and mine? Did you ever stop to notice all the blood we shed before? Did you ever stop to notice the crying earth, the weeping shores?
What about
I'm going to ask her in a second for us to bow our heads together. And you can take this as a prayer, as a meditation, or just an opportunity to meditate, breathe in, breathe out, grab hold of the words that you need in this moment. Just bow our heads together. May we stop staring at the clouds and start noticing the dirt beneath our feet. May we remember that sacred things don't only shine from the heavens. They bleed in hospital rooms, weep at eviction notices, sing in prison yards, and rise in bread lines turned into communion. May our hearts stay soft enough to break and bold enough to build. May we stop mistaking comfort for salvation and silence for peace. Because heaven doesn't wait. Not when bodies are broken by policies. Not when truth is buried under doctrine. Not when love is nailed to the margins and told to wait its turn. May we move before the moment passes. May we speak before the silence seals complicity. May we rise before we convince ourselves that holiness belongs somewhere else. Heaven can wait, but justice can't. Love can't. We can't. So may our hands become answers, may our feet become prayers, and may our living become the Amen. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and your actions bring that love and happiness to all of those we meet.
No need for greed or hunger. close today. Join us now.